Welcome to the Kildrum podcast. Today we'll be speaking with Dr. Matthew Davis, Kildrum's Head of Technical, to discuss the new licensing regime for use of glue traps in England. Stay tuned for your plus points code at the end of the show.
Hi Matt, can you explain the new licensing regime for the use of glue traps in England?
Yeah, absolutely. I can certainly talk people through. So the major date is the 31st of July, and with us now being beyond the 31st of July, it now means that glue traps can only be used by pest control operators, professional pest controllers with a certain set of qualifications and an actual licence from Natural England. So I can talk through the licensing side of things. I can talk through the training options as well. What's your preference, Emma?
Yeah, let's start with licensing.
Yeah, that's great. So the licensing, that actually opened on the 19th of June, and the licensing information is on the Gov website, so GOV. Just go on gov.uk and you can use a search bar there, and you can search for glue traps, glue trap licensing, and you'll find all the relevant information there on the process that people need to go through. Before you even need to do that, you have to have some prerequisites in place, which is all about the training. So now we know where to go in terms of information on licensing. I can cover the training.
So in terms of the new licensing, what kind of training does a pest controller need to do to obtain it?
Yeah, there are two courses actually, and one is the RSPH Level 2 Award in Pest Management. So in order to even apply for the licensing through Natural England for the use of glue traps, you need to hold that and have evidence that you've taken that course and passed the exam. So you'll need your Level 2 certificate. And it's the full RSPH Level 2 Award in Pest Management, by the way. That's the one that's needed. On top of that, you also need to hold the Kildrum Glue Trap course, which is the Principles in the Use of Glue Traps under Licence. That's its full title, and that's available on the internet on the Kildrum website, which is kildrumtraining.com. And I can give a run through of that one and what it entails. It was released towards the end of May, early June, in time for people to take the course and then sit the exam, pass that, and then that contributes towards the licensing procedures, all of which, like I said, opened up on 19th of June. The idea there is that people applying for licences from that date, it gives Natural England enough time to deal with licence applications. So Kildrum wanted to make sure we were ready nice and early, just to help things run a bit more smoothly with licensing. So yeah, we were there nice and early.
In terms of recognised training, is Kildrum the only one at the moment that offers that?
Yeah, we are at the moment regarding the glue traps course. It's totally available for other training providers to come forward and work with an awarding organisation to get a relevant exam that results in a certificate that's recognised, and you know, can consult with Natural England on the course content and so on. Other options may come available in the future, but yeah, we were the first and acted quickly and worked with government, and we're pretty proud to have got something in place quickly and something that meets the requirements and supports customers in England. And So it is an online course, and I won't spend too long talking about it because people need to know some of the technical details behind the licensing as well, but you also need to know a bit about what's required from the training end. It's an online course, and I suppose on demand is a good way to describe it. There are pre-recorded presentations from two of my technical colleagues in the technical department. Avril Turner, who is our technical manager for the Midlands. Avril's very experienced, very qualified. She's got a presentation on, you know, legislation, the legal aspects that are relevant to glue traps, and covering the things like animal welfare and all the things you'd expect legislation-wise, and the new glue traps legislation as well. She also covers some of the aspects of the licensing and how that's going to work. Following on from that is my colleague Melvin Knapp. Melvin, again, just like Avril, very experienced, very qualified. Both Avril and Melvin have used glue traps in the real world at the sharp end of pest control. So that's really important, I think, when someone's delivering this kind of training. Melvin talks a bit more about the application, the in-use, the practicalities, as well as covering some of the licensing as well. So between them both, they've got good coverage of what's required. Unfortunately, there is an exam. I say unfortunately, you know, not everybody loves an exam, but it's needed in this case just to show that level of knowledge and level of competence and to support licensing requirements. So yeah, just to give people a view on what the exam entails, just be ready with a laptop and a webcam. With it being, you know, a relatively sensitive topic, supporting legislation and licensing, it's an invigilated exam. Proctored is the sort of technical term. So you're recorded during the exam, your screen is captured, the audio and video of yourself are captured as well, so it's a secure online exam. When you sign up to the course, about a week or so later, you get a trial exam to practice, make sure the IT works on the computer, the laptop or desktop. And after that, you then followed up with the exam proper. And should all go well, you then get a basic certificate generated for that to support your licensing application. So that's it in a nutshell, really. And yeah, that rundown is on the Kiljourn Training website as well.
What are the criteria for obtaining a licence for glue trapping, both for individual pest controllers and for businesses?
Yeah, really good question, because I've only covered part of the picture so far. We've covered the training, and just so people are aware, I know it's a bit of repetition, but having those certificates for the RSPH Level 2 Award in Pest Management and the Kiljourn Principles in the use of glue traps under licence, that doesn't automatically mean you'll get a licence. They're a prerequisite to start the application process, but you still need to go through that process, obtain a licence, and only then, when you have the licence, can you be operating legally in terms of using a glue trap for rats or mice. The other extra thing that's needed, this other prerequisite, different to the training, is you'll need a reference from another pest controller that vouches for your competency. So that's something that needs to be looked at. It could be, you know, an individual from within your organisation, it could be somebody local that you've got a connection with, but it needs to be a reference in place, and that is mentioned on the licensing forms as well on the government website. So they're the main prerequisites before you start the actual application process.
Could you describe the two types of licences available for glue traps and maybe some situations that each type covers?
Yeah, absolutely fine. There are two types, as you say, Emma. The sort of first one, which I expect will be the most sort of used option, is the class license. Now, folks involved in wildlife management in the past will have most likely come across the class licenses that are out there. There's one for small songbirds in food premises, so people involved in bird work will have heard of that one. There is a class license relevant to trapping gliss, the edible dormouse, that's out there. So there's some similarities and some crossovers here. In terms of the class license, that's one that you get beforehand. You want to register in advance to use that license, so it's there. Certain situations are covered. You can act quickly to deal with that rodent issue under the class license details and requirements, and that's exactly what we want. And yeah, it covers a number of situations, and these situations are time critical as well. These are urgent problems, you know, threats to public health, threats to national infrastructure, and so on. And I'll go through them one by one. So the situation that glue traps can be used under, when you've got that class license, are: one, inside aircraft. Can see how critical that could be with a rodent issue. Two, inside hospital surgery operating rooms, and that can include related areas needing for maintaining equipment. You can see how that's a critical area, also time critical as well. And then the third definition is critical infrastructure sites that are at imminent risk of fire or equipment failure. And experienced pest controllers out there know the damage caused by rats and mice. Electrical cable damage, that threat caused from fire, is significant and real for sure. So those key areas are absolutely relevant.
In terms of the licensing process, how does it work and what are the associated costs? for each type of licence?
Yeah, that there are some costs. These are detailed. We've got a section on the Kildrone website where we've listed the key principles of glue traps. It's separate to the training course, that the costs are on there. I think on a podcast I'm not going to mention the exact costs, but there are costs associated with each type of licence, the class licence and the second type that I'll talk about, which is the individual licences. Those costs are also on the government website as well. Just to be sort of clear on the costs, a bit of information on this one is they're not paid up front. An invoice is sent for those from Natural England, and of course those costs are only borne if the licensing procedure is successful, so it's not an upfront thing. So just a bit of reassurance on that one for people that are interested in that.
And in terms of license requirements, what are the main things that people must adhere to when they're using glue traps with the new laws?
Yeah, I think there's plenty to talk about. Firstly, deciding between the two different types is a good starting point. We've mentioned the class licence. I'll talk about individual licence next, because that's it. Knowing which one to apply for, which one's relevant to you, is the first sort of key step. You'd be thinking about an individual licence where your situation isn't covered under the class licence. The individual licences are different. You apply for that single use licence at the time of need, and that's to deal with a particular problem at a particular site. So it is quite different to that class licence. It requires a bit more of a detailed assessment from the licensing authority, which, as we said, that's Natural England. Can't use glue traps until you've got that licence from the licensing authority. You know, your application's been approved and you've got that copy of your licence ready to go. And I know it sort of feels like I'm saying the same thing over and over, but with us being where we are in terms of dates, and it's beyond the 31st of July, without that licence in place, you cannot use glue traps in England. It will be illegal to do it unless you're operating on these types of licences. Key wording under the individual licence, they'll only be issued in what the authorities have termed exceptional circumstances. And I think that's good terminology. Exceptional circumstances defined as there's a high risk to public health and public safety, and where all alternative methods of rodent control are ineffective. So just to flesh that one out, where we've got a large-scale risk to public health and safety, that could be considered as an exceptional circumstance. Examples given are sites accommodating large numbers of vulnerable people. It could be care homes and hospitals. That's an example given. We've also got, under that banner of large-scale risk to public health and safety, we've got food manufacturing facilities with regional distribution, laboratories where contamination risk has nationally significant impacts, and we've got, I suppose, sometimes helpful to say where you're not going to be able to use glue boards, glue traps, just to rule things out. So restaurants, takeaways and dwelling houses are listed as areas not likely to have been considered as exceptional circumstances at all. Not saying it isn't impossible, but for me, I wouldn't really be considering restaurants, takeaways and dwelling houses unless there's something exceptional, you know, using that word in there. But yeah, the previous things of vulnerable people, food manufacturing facilities, regional distribution, labs where contamination risk has nationally significant impacts, they're the clearer examples of exceptional circumstances. So yeah, there's quite a lot to think about, hence the training course that we've got set up just to help people through this whole process.
And in terms of kind of the new rulings, can you explain the importance of marking each glue trap with specific information and why pre-treatments are really necessary?
Yeah, definitely. That comes out again and again in the training and in the requirements on the government website as well. It is required that each glue trap must be marked with the licensee's registration number and the name and contact details of the licensee's company, if that's applicable. So that's got to be marked and identified, and there's no wiggle room there. That's what's required. and you write about the pre-treatment survey. That's nothing new to experienced pest controllers, doing that all the time in terms of rodent control, insect control, and you know the more historic use of glue traps. It's having that really good thorough survey and inspection to assess the risk of capturing non-target species. And that even comes into play when we're placing the glue traps. You know, they're placed in a manner that they don't present a risk to non-targets. So that's really important and, yeah, crucial part of most pest control operations, really. Again, you know, it may sound onerous to people hearing it for the first time, but don't forget, we're used to this in our industry. We've got an IPM strategy in place for various types of pest control, and there's no difference here when it comes to rodent control. We're not just relying on traps, be it glue traps, snap traps, or chemicals, or proofing or hygiene. It's a combination of all those: housekeeping, proofing, hygiene, non-chemical measures, chemical measures. I think, you know, IPM is very well established in professional pest control, so we're no stranger to that one, really.
So in terms of minimising the risk to non-target species using glue traps, what are the best measures to take?
Yeah, sure. The best measures, definitely follow the licence requirements. And a big part of those requirements is actually the frequency of checking. And, you know, that's to do with the welfare of a trapped rodent on there, but the frequent intervals for checking also. I mean, you know, it's extremely unlikely, used by professionals in the right manner, you've having done your pre-treatment survey to assess the risk of non-targets anyway. In the event that that did happen, then having those frequent intervals, you're able to free that non-target species and deal with that appropriately as per licensing conditions. So yeah, frequent checks is always something we consider in all areas of pest control, really, and that is a big contributor to protection and welfare of target species and non-target species as well.
What action should be taken if non-target species are trapped?
Okay, so in terms of frequency of checking, every glue trap must be physically inspected by the licensee at least every 6 hours when in use, and that's physically inspected on site with your own presence there. There is a frequency of checking when it comes to being off site. So if you're using glue traps and you're off site, you must use remote monitoring equipment to check on every glue trap. And that monitoring system must be able to notify the licensee when the trap has caught the target animal or other species. And what you've got to do, if you get that notification, let's say it's to your phone that a trap's been triggered, you must be able to get there within 2 hours of receiving that alert. Now that doesn't obviate, it doesn't get around the need for the 6 hour checks physically anyway. That still needs to be done even if you are using remote monitoring. So that's really important. We don't want to sort of put the wrong message out there. And actually, I suspect that there'll be times where operators will remain on site, because in the grand scheme of things, that could be the best option. But yeah, there is that latitude, a bit of flexibility, where we can have the remote monitoring systems to give us some assistance.
What are the responsibilities of licence holders in terms of record keeping and disposal of the glue trap?
Yeah, when it comes to the record keeping, we want detailed copies of records, similar to what things were like before licensing. We'd always want the location plans. They must be available on site at all times for all glue traps put down during any treatment. They've got to be updated as necessary and after all inspections as well, and that just ensures traceability. So there's a lot there on the detail of records. When we're thinking about disposal, then, you know, dispose of the glue traps after use safely. Check that you're in accordance with legal waste requirements locally to you. And you definitely want to cover that sticky surface to avoid trapping any other species accidentally, and also remove any possible potential for misuse. But account for those traps when you bring them back in. Remove them, dispose them, like I've said. When they're not in use, they've got to be removed. So that's absolutely right.
Can you elaborate on the role of a competent person and how they are involved with the licensing process?
Yeah, that's it. So there's a few other details, aren't there, to cover. So a competent person, that's a pest controller who the licensee has authorised to remove traps on their behalf. That's only, though, in the event of an emergency. And that competent person is either registered to use a class licence or satisfies the criteria to hold a licence. So it's a tight definition, that competent person. But yeah, you're right, competent person is referred to in the literature. Yeah, so that's where you've got a contingency plan in place. That must be in place. It's going to be in the event of an emergency. That really is where the licensee, you're not able to physically check the traps in line with the timings that we gave. That contingency plan must ensure that the competent person removes the glue traps and deals with any captured species appropriately. And hence that definition of the competent person was so important. And in terms of reporting and recording, if you use that contingency plan, you've got to notify the licensing authority on the next day. When it comes to an assistant, always remember the pest controller who holds the license, they're responsible for all activities carried out under that license. That includes activities carried out by their assistants, or in the case of emergencies, a competent person. So yeah, that responsibility is absolutely there.
And in terms of assistants working under a licensed pest controller, how should they be supervised?
Yeah, they must always be under the direct supervision of that licensed pest controller. An assistant, they may not work alone or unsupervised at all. So that one's nice and clear. Yeah, while we're on definitions, I can talk about critical infrastructure. That was one of the scenarios falling under the remit of a class licence, so I can expand on that one. That definition of critical infrastructure, what we've got is, for the purpose of licensing regarding use of glue traps in England, critical infrastructure means sites that have got a function of maintaining public health, safety or security at a regional or national level or scale. Examples given there are national security, national power generation, data management sites that support nuclear power stations, 999 emergency control rooms, airports, or transport control centres. So a good number of places there, that makes sense.
How does the licensing authority ensure compliance with reporting requirements and other regulations?
Yeah, so the reporting side of things, that is a requirement of the licensing. What you must do when you're working under the class licence is you must notify the licensing authority within 5 working days after you've used the licence and at each site you use it. And also, every year, you'll be asked if you want to remain registered or not. So that's a bit on the reporting requirements there.
And could you explain a little bit about the significance of purchasing glue traps from certified suppliers?
Yeah, that's right. That's a good recommendation that we've seen from Natural England. Their wording is that glue traps should be purchased from suppliers who've been certified by the basis point of sale audit process. Many sellers of rodenticides, any seller of professional use rodenticides needs to be on the basis point of sale audit scheme. And I think that's quite nice that, we should be purchasing glue traps from people that are on this point of sale audit scheme, because it shows they've got various checks and balances in place and they can deal with checking, certification to make sure the right people are purchasing glue traps. And I think that's part of the stewardship of them, make sure they're sold to the right people.
Thanks again to Matt for joining us today. For further information, visit the Kildrum website or the link in the description below. Your plus points code today is TRAPS. That's Tango, Romeo, Alpha, Papa, Sierra. Once again, that's TRAPS. Thanks for listening. Please note all information is correct as of the time of the recording. However, for the most up-to-date information, please visit the Kildrum website.